You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined as always by my friends and colleagues, Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm happy to be in the month of May.
Me too. I love May. Todd, how are you this morning?
Superlative.
Superlative.
Absolutely. My training is going well.
Yeah? You all set for your European tour to Todd?
You betcha, man.
Outstanding. Well, we have a great show today. In fact, we have one of our first three-peat guests. I want to welcome back David Ellis, who is the Executive Vice President of the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association. Welcome back, David. How are you?
Glad to be back. Thank you.
Well, before we get into it, remind everybody who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm the Executive Vice President of the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association. The HBA is a not-for-profit trade association that represents the housing and construction industry in the Greater Atlanta area. We have a little under 1,000 members, and there are home builders and subcontractors and suppliers and bankers. Anyone who works in the housing industry, it can be part of the association. It should be part of the association in the Greater Atlanta area.
So, David, before we went on air, we were talking about how the market is picking up a bit in Atlanta. Do you want to elaborate and let our listeners know what you're seeing?
Well, we're seeing better numbers. The sales have improved. They've been up, you know, somewhat significantly, particularly in the northern parts of Atlanta, in South Forsyth County and northern Fulton County and Cobb County. We've really seen some pickup in the traffic and in the sales that have been going on. So people are starting to become, you know, cautiously optimistic about improvements in the housing market.
David, it's great to hear that things are picking up, but that begs the question, why? What's different?
I think one of the main things is a consumer confidence. You know, a number of the dynamics have been good for a long time. There have been good deals out there. There have been good interest rates out there. But I think people are more confident about where they stand in the economy. The stock market's improved. People don't seem to have the same fears about their jobs. And again, I'm not saying that things have, you know, exploded, but we're certainly seeing improvement across the market, and that's a good thing.
Can you talk to us a little bit about number of permits pulled this year over last? I understand that's a pretty positive number.
Well, the numbers are up. As a matter of fact, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution did a story about it last week. And again, the places we're seeing most of the improvement, though, is in more that northern tier of Atlanta. We're probably up anywhere from 15 to 20%, which again, over the small numbers we've been doing, isn't a large leap forward, but certainly it's headed in the right direction. And again, it's very market sensitive. There are certain parts of Atlanta where we haven't seen much improvement, so we're waiting to see where it all catches on. But for now, it's really places that have good schools, where good locations close to transportation and close to where people work.
David, you've mentioned the northern tier twice now. Why? I'll continue with my same question. Why the northern tier as opposed to other sections of metro Atlanta?
Well, those areas, for a couple of reasons. First of all, historically, they've been pretty strong markets. And for instance, in South Forsyth County, which has been really one of the hottest areas of our market, there were good land opportunities there that some of the builders were able to come in and reestablish. And because, again, when I talk to the builders, they focus on schools. And they say it's the good schools in those areas that have attracted home buyers and kind of pulled them back into the market. They want to be where the good schools are. And if they've got to move, they want to be there. So that's been one of the real focuses of the builders, trying to find lots that are available in those the well-recognized school districts.
Well, I understand that you went on a little bit of a trip recently to a city a little bit north of here.
Well, last week I was invited to go up to Washington, D.C. and participate in a program with 20 or so folks from Georgia. We went to the White House and we talked about with senior policy advisors to the president on housing. There were people there from HUD. There were people there from Treasury. There were people there from the VA and USDA. And we talked about housing issues and what the administration should be doing and is doing to try to improve the housing market. And it was an interesting day. Parts of it were frustrating because certain parts of the things they focused on were some of the public assistance programs in terms of helping people with their mortgages and trying to keep people in their homes and avoiding foreclosure, which are all important, you know, part of what's going on. But we also focused on things like appraisals and trying to get the appraisal market more under control and more normalized. We talked about the national policies related to mortgages. There's some question about the future of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are the secondary markets for mortgages, and making sure that we're developing some kind of predictable system so that we don't lose our really great mortgage industry in the United States. And the administration is doing some work on that, and we made a number of suggestions there. And then also about just the banks in general, about the acquisition, development, and construction financing that really has kind of fled the market. Finding ways to get that money back in so people can continue with housing.
All right, we'll be back with David Ellis after this commercial break.
HGTV's hit series Property Virgins is coming to the greater Atlanta area. Does the idea of buying your first home overwhelm you and cause you undue stress? We can make the process less stressful and give you the help that you need with one of the most important decisions of your life. We are looking for people who plan on buying their first home between April and September 2012. Please email propertyvirgins at cineflix.com, that's CINEFLIX.com, for more information about appearing on HGTV's Property Virgins.
All right, and we're back with David Ellis, Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association.
So, David, I just have to ask, did you have the opportunity to meet the president while you were in D.C.?
Did not meet the president while I was there, but he was in the White House that day, and keep him under guards pretty well, so didn't get a chance to really meet him. But did the people that were in the meeting were very senior advisors to him, and that was kind of interesting just to get to interact with them and get their opinions and thoughts about where we are in housing. And again, it was a good day because we got to, you know, share some of our thoughts. Parts of it were frustrating because there were times when it felt like they were more focused on public assistance, which again is an important part of housing, but we want to make sure they also looking at the overall market and what we can do to make sure housing is stabilized on a, you know, market-wide basis.
Clearly, David, you came to that meeting with the best ideas of anyone else in the group. What is the one thing that you emphasized to that group that's important?
Well, I tried to talk about things that are important to my members, and I told them, I said, if I brought 10 builders into this room, the first thing they would say is appraisals. There's been a lot of disruption in the appraisal market, and even we tied it back into the assistance program. There's a program that's been very successful around the country called the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. And in Atlanta, one of the biggest challenges we have, they buy these houses that are in disrepair, fix them up, and if, for instance, buy a house for $20,000, put $60,000 in it to fix it up, to sell it to a low-income family. But when the appraiser comes in, they only get an appraisal for $50,000. Because they're in a depressed neighborhood. And we've got to figure out a way to really truly assess the value of homes and not just compare it to other foreclosed homes. And that's just a challenge that no one's quite gotten around to figure out through regulation how we can do that. And we talked a lot about that. And at the same time, there wasn't any real resolution because it's a tough issue.
Is that a common problem? I assume it is nationwide.
Oh, it's a problem across the nation. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things the National Association of Home Builders, our national association, has been working on for the last 3 or 4 years, trying to find a way to make that work. Because again, we don't want to misvalue homes. That was one of the challenges we had that caused some of the downturn. You know, some of the appraisals in some cases were, you know, just too high. But at the same time, there's got to be a way to determine based on what it costs to build a house or what the market will bear. I've had many builders in Atlanta, when you sell a house and, you know, somebody says, I'll buy your house for $200,000. But the appraiser comes in and says, well, it's really only worth $185,000. The person selling something says, it's worth what I can sell it for. And so it's been a real challenge. And again, that's a market that probably swung too far one way and now has swung way too far back the other way. Starting to come back, but it's taken some time. And it's something we're trying to focus on because there's a lot of fear in the appraisal market. The appraisers don't want to be the one getting caught overvaluing anything. So they pull back. And so we're trying to get it set up where they have good policies they can follow, so they can properly appraise homes.
Yeah, especially since, you know, I mean, one of the complaints I hear from builders is that their homes are appraised for less than what they have in them.
Oh, very much so. In some parts of Atlanta, even with the reset lot prices, where the lots are much cheaper now, they can't physically build a house, sticks and bricks, and add up everything they spend on the house, and oftentimes get that as a value for the home, which again creates a real disincentive for anybody obviously to do something. You build a house and lose money, you're not going to do that again.
One of the things I've always seen in statistics and in estimating things is you'll get a range of values in lots of different domains. You see it in manufacturing a lot, mm-hmm. where you'll say, well, on the low end it's worth X, on the high end it's Y, so there's a range of value. Why isn't that more common? I mean, is there some reason that that's not done?
I'm not sure why it's not done. I mean, typically, again, the bank... And of course, they're assessing the value of it for, you know, how it's being collateralized by the bank. And the bank wants to know that if they're giving a loan on a house, that it's worth what they're loaning against, so that if anything, you know, dire happens and they actually have to own the house again as a bank, that they're not going to be further underwater than they already could be. And again, I kind of get the concern, but there's got to be a way where we can normalize that so it doesn't throw the market further off. Because every time we get one of those lower assessments and a house has to drop its value, it drags the whole market down with it. So again, we're trying to figure out a way to create correct comparables, which they use, you know, the comparable sales in the same area, trying to figure out a way where we can not so much rely on foreclosed homes or quick sales or those kind of things as comparable values, but really something that really creates a true value in what the market's willing to bear.
So talk to us a little bit more about the challenge that builders are having, not only just finding land, but getting financing. Is that improving any? Do you see that it's easier for them to get money to move forward?
We're seeing some improvement in the bank's ability to get out and loan money. Now, again, as many of you know, in Georgia, as across the country, a lot of the state banks and the community banks have had real challenges. They got overextended into real estate, and they're still trying to work through all that. Many of our members, some more smaller members, have relied on those state banks and community banks for their funding. You know, some of my larger guys, they can go to other sources to get their money, either through, you know, investment groups or through national banks. But a lot of my small guys maybe do one or two homes a year. That's just not available to them. But those small banks are starting to come back into the market again. And they realize they make money as a bank by lending money. So they're working through those issues. And I'm starting to hear more and more. I had a builder the other day say, I got a loan to build five houses. And yes, it sounds surprised. He said, I kind of was surprised. So we're starting to see that more and more. And again, I think it's going to be a slow but steady recovery in that area.
David, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association?
Well, certainly we hope they will. And local folks, if you're willing to join the association, we'd be glad to have you. You can reach us at, you can go to our website at atlantahomebuilders.com, or you can call me at 678-775-1403.
David Ellis, Executive Vice President of the Greater Atlanta Home Builders Association. It was great to have you. Thanks for coming back and joining us.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. We'll be back with our next guest after today's deal of the day.
Hey, Todd, what time is it?
Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day. Carol, what have you got for us?
Todd, you're going to like this one a lot because it starts with the word free.
Ooh, I like free is good.
You like free. So free basements and $2,500 in closing cost at Kendrick's Ridge in Sugar Hill. And this is good through May 31st.
Free basements.
Yeah, I don't know
Explain
what that means.
Explain more about that. That has potential.
So free basement. So instead of, you know, having to pay extra or pay additional to have a basement home, they're including it in the price.
Oh, I see. So it's not. Yeah. Wow. So it's just a basement. It's not necessarily a finished basement.
It's not a finished basement, but it is a free basement.
No, all that extra excavation, that is not cheap, man.
No, no.
Well, and just think of the future potential for a man cave or a home theater or, you know, a place for the kids to play that is, they can make the biggest mess they want and it's out of the way. Or Todd, in your case, a place to put the dogs in their kennels and you can let them whine all night long and you can't hear them upstairs.
I had never thought of a kennel in the basement. What do you think of that, man? That's a great idea.
It is a wonderful idea.
Of course, Todd might be the one that ends up in it.
You know damn well that I'll be the one that'll be in the basement and the dogs will be in the bed. But anyway, go on.
So Kendrick's Ridge is a fabulous gated community of 79 home sites. It has a variety of floor plans, including the new Kendrick's collection. And those homes are 4 and 5 bedrooms, which are perfect for, you know, large and growing families. And they offer 2.5 and 3.5 baths. And the homes are over 2,700 square feet.
Wow. So, Kara, where is it located?
It's located in Gwinnett County in the Sugar Hill community. So that means you get excellent Gwinnett County schools. It's Riverside Elementary, North Gwinnett Middle, and North Gwinnett High. And Riverside Elementary was rated one of the top 2% in Georgia for overall achievement and academic scores. So again, there's a reoccurring theme lately on the show about schools.
Yep.
You know, schools sell houses. This is a phenomenally hot school district, so it makes this a hot property.
But I have to be honest with you, with the hundreds of shows we've done, we don't talk about Gwinnett all that often, so it's nice to hear about some activity up there.
So let me also throw in, to sweeten the deal, the amenities at the community include a pool, a cabana, and a neighborhood walking trail.
That's pretty nice.
It is nice.
You know what? KM Homes, they just know how to do it right. I mean, they pick a great location out in Gwinnett with the schools like you were talking about, Carol. And then they throw in the amenities. And have you seen those houses? I mean, you can see quality when you walk into something. And I always feel that way with the KM homes.
Yeah, they're certainly good-looking houses. And they're homes that are going to save their home buyers money over the life of the home because of some of the energy efficiency. Delaney, you want to let them know what we're offering or what KM's offering in terms of energy efficiency?
These homes are ENERGY STAR rated through inspections with a third-party company. So you know that they are qualified by other professionals. They have the classic house wrap, insulated vinyl thermal low E windows with wood wrap, tech shield, radiant barrier, roof sheathing, and more.
I love that because, you know, honestly, you know, your house costs, you know, it's your biggest investment. It costs a lot of money up front, and you want to know that you're saving money on those utility bills.
Yeah. It's so easy to overlook the operating costs when you're looking at a house.
But, absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to be there for 15 or 20 or even longer years, that adds up.
Sure does.
Carol, where can we get more information on this?
So you can get more information by visiting kmhomes.com.
All right. Well, that wraps today's deal of the day. All right. And we're back with our next three-peat guest. Two three-peats today on the show. This is very, very exciting. I want to welcome back Sam Bass, who's the VP of Sales and Marketing of Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods. Welcome back, Sam.
Todd, great to be back.
Well, before we get into it, remind the audience a little bit about you and your background.
As we've talked before, I've been in the business for about 27 years in various roles, as started with on-site. Most of the last 15 years have been in management with a builder across the Southeast, and currently I'm handling the VP of Sales and Marketing for Acadia.
Sam, tell us a little bit more about Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods and your successes over the past year.
Well, Carol, we are a very young company, been in business actually as Acadia for the last 2 years, and just kind of taking one step at a time, one community at a time, going in and rescuing some neighborhoods that have been left and behind by previous builders owned by the banks. Our philosophy has been to go out and acquire these neighborhoods, pull in the product that we think will meet what the market demand is. And so far, we've been very successful. Some of the success stories I would point to would be the Reserve at City Park, our townhomes there in Midtown. Sutherland Corners is another one, infill piece there in the Midtown area, as well as Smyrna and our Sherwood Park in the Smyrna area.
Sam, you're being a little bit too humble. You guys are really knocking it out of the park. Talk a little bit about why that is. Is it just your philosophy in picking the rescue neighborhoods correctly, or what else is it?
I think it's a combination. Marketing and picking up those neighborhoods and making sure we put the right product in at the right price is certainly part of a key piece of that. I think the demand right now, there's a lot of people that are out looking. The weather's been beautiful, very mild winter, and that has added to people getting out looking, maybe finally realizing that the floor is here to be able to get out and make a decision to buy a home.
One thing I really appreciate about Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods is, you know, it's a differentiating sales point, I think, for you guys. If you've seen one neighborhood, you haven't seen them all. Because you've rescued all these neighborhoods, you have a huge variety of product and price points around the neighborhood. You want to address that and just kind of give our listeners an idea of what the different types are?
That's a great thing and a bad thing in some cases, because from the product side, it takes a lot more effort to get each new plan into our system. It's just not a template you can go over and over again. From a sales capacity, though, it's a great idea because our salespeople do see, and we think our buyers see the difference between maybe some of our competition product and what we bring to the table.
Be a little more specific. Talk about a few of the actual neighborhoods that you're working on right now.
Well, in addition to the Sherwood Park, which was a neighborhood that we rescued from in Smyrna, we brought in some new product, all front load and rear load product, that previously was not really built there. It was mostly townhomes when it started, and we decided to rezone it all single family. Rear load garages, front load garages, and also bring in a price point that was more affordable for that market. And it's really looking nice. It's a lot of brick, a lot of cedar shake, and craftsman style elevations.
I love that Smyrna area. And when you say rear load, are those alley homes?
They are, yes.
That's a fun product.
Yes.
What happens when the real estate market turns around? Because it seems to me anyway, pretty clearly turning, and your strategy, which has been extremely successful of picking up the rescue neighborhoods. What do you see further down the road?
Well, in addition to picking up the rescue, we do develop our own neighborhoods as well. We've got some success there. We would like to, while the market is the way it is, pick up more of the neighborhoods that are already there, lots down, the utility lines in, so it makes it easier for us to get started and get going. But we'll continue to develop land. Our president is very educated in developing properties and marketing properties, and so we'll see a blend of what we've been doing in the past. We'll continue to do that, as well as adding our own larger lot neighborhoods that we develop from the ground up.
Differences in the mortgage market, anything there that's changing, making things easier, more difficult?
I think the consistent thing about the mortgage industry is that the rates are still low. The good thing is there's not been a whole lot of real changes that allow people to do what they were doing several years ago that got us into this crisis to begin with.
All right. We'll be back with Sam Bass after this commercial break.
HGTV's hit series Property Virgins is coming to the greater Atlanta area. Does the idea of buying your first home overwhelm you and cause you undue stress? We can make the process less stressful and give you the help that you need with one of the most important decisions of your life. We are looking for people who plan on buying their first home between April and September 2012. Please email propertyvirgins@cineflix.com, that's CINEFLIX.com, for more information about appearing on HGTV's Property Virgins.
All right, and we're back with Sam Bass with Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods.
Sam, I've noticed that every single one of us in the studio today has our smartphone on us. And it seems like the whole buying mentality and shopping mentality of buyers has really changed and shifted over the past, you know, year, 2 years. What are you seeing in terms of buyers visiting your website from smartphones?
Well, you know, Carol, we've spent a lot of time continuing to update our website to make sure it is our face of the company, and we want to make sure that when people look at it, they're seeing a very good snapshot of who we are. And so, as you indicated, we've noticed people are out there in our neighborhoods. They're actually looking around our competition. And one of the things we've tried to do is create a mobile app that allows them to go straight to our website while they're in the car, take a look at, you know, what the specific home they're maybe in front of looks like or is featured with, neighborhood amenities, neighborhood features. So we see a lot more people doing that. We feel there's a huge swing going on with people using that medium to get to our website.
Sam, does the sophistication of folks technically knowing a lot more about the home before they actually look at it, does that make them easier to deal with, more difficult to deal with? What's different from the old days?
Well, it definitely makes them more educated, for sure. I'm not sure it's easier or less difficult, but they come in with a lot more knowledge. And so they'll do, we just find it to be apropos that most people come in today, they've been looking online, they've seen where they want to be, they know what area they want to live in. Now they're coming in to weed people out. They're coming to find out, you know, by looking at the product, by visiting the agent, who are they going to disconnect and take off their list, and who are they going to keep shopping for?
Kind of on that same train of thought, do you find that buyers are using social media and the internet to kind of weed other builders out as well?
I think there's an element of that, yeah. I think, you know, they're going to try to contact us via the internet or a link online to see how well we communicate back. And it's a very quick response time. They're expecting some answers back. So to see if we can continue to be one of their interest points or not.
How has all this online technology and social media affected how you build your home and the kinds of things you put into it? Has it changed the way you design and build places?
You know, I don't think it really changes the product much. It changes the, you know, some of the things we put in the home. I think people that are, even the people that aren't tech savvy, like myself, I want to have easy access to internet from any room in my house without having to worry about being hooked up to a wire. So it makes us certainly have to yield to people asking for more detail and high-tech options than we've ever had before.
Acadia recently opened a new neighborhood, McKinley Crossing. Right. What can you tell us about, you know, where that is and what that price point is?
That's our latest. It's a single-family development. It's our neighborhood there in Forsyth, really north Forsyth, next to Lake Lanier. It's a great location. If you like boating, you like being close to water, you can't get much closer except to be on the water. It's a great little neighborhood. It's also a rescue neighborhood that we purchased 13 homes in there that are at various stages of being completed. And so we're going to fix them up, make it show ready. We've made our first sale in there as it is. So we've only been open, I think, a couple of weeks, and we've got one deal already on the table.
Anything else coming down the road? What should we look for next that you can talk about?
Three more neighborhoods. I do not even know where they are yet, but I know they're on the drafting board to pick up. And with our track record, I expect it to be nice neighborhoods with good product and good opportunities.
Anything different you're doing these days? I know you, as the sales guy, you've got that creative gene in there.
You know, I work with people like Carol to really help us be creative. But I think for me personally, what I get involved with is just finding the right people, because I think it comes down to the right salespeople on site to be able to carry the flag, to be able to, you know, echo what we're doing at the corporate level, but at the neighborhood level.
I think you're still offering a special promotion that really incentivizes agents to bring people to your communities.
We do. Yes, we do. We, of course, with the buyers, we have the $10,000, use it for closing costs or options. And for realtors, we really want their participation. We are pro realtor builder. So for any agent that brings a customer in, we offer the $500 American Express or gas gift card for them to have for their participation in addition to their commission.
And that's with closed contracts, correct?
They get it at closing, exactly. But it's a nice little perk. Who doesn't want gas?
Yeah. All right. Well, Sam, we're out of time. Before we let you go, remind the audience where they can get in touch with you and learn more about Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods.
The easiest way is to go online at acadiahomes.us and check us out.
All right. Sam Bass, VP of Sales and Marketing with Acadia Homes and Neighborhoods. It was great to have you. Good to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, you can find us at AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or on iTunes. In fact, if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a positive customer rating and review on iTunes. That wraps this episode. On behalf of today's guests, David Ellis and Sam Bass, my co-hosts, Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schneck. We'll see you next week on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio.